So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Doing pretty well, thank you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, how's the vibe?
That's good. Yeah, good. It's good. It's good. It's, you know, reasonable weather, good atmosphere around the office. Students are on campus.
But was afraid is really weird.
And that's pointing it mildly.
Yeah. Should we have a quick little chat about Boa's Afraid?
God, here we go.
Now that you've started it. So this is Ari Aster's film, the director of Hereditary and Midsommar.
Still in cinemas right now, so I don't want to give away a lot, but Bo as a character is just so anxious. And I do kind of side with his mother at the end, but then I don't, because then I realize that if you didn't want such a shit son, maybe you could have done a better job raising him better, you know? I don't know. I've just got problems with a lot of those characters in the film.
So we're talking about a three-hour film, yep. Something that I guess is probably mostly a black comedy, taking anxieties and kind of stretching them to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah.
But in a much more surreal way than like a Kubrick enthusiasm kind of way. I really dug the first hour, but I found the rest of it a bit of a slog. Although, I did love seeing Parker Posey.
Yes. Yep.
The actor Parker Posey, not the
not
the similarly named turf.
Yeah, no.
Look, it's a bit of a buy beware situation, Bo is Afraid. But if you've got any interest in seeing kind of big swing misfires, I reckon that's the kind of way I'd categorize that film.
You reckon it is a misfire?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. But it's kind of like it's a filmmaker leaning in a way that only one person chasing their kind of singular vision can do. There's something interesting in that, but yeah, a bit of a slog.
Not like in 10 years time might revisit it and go, actually this is brilliant.
Like, the final scene is like terribly Kafkaesque, isn't it?
Not
to really pinpoint it.
Yeah,
like
I want to just sigh when I hear that though. Like it is like a bit of a slog. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, but look, there's slogs.
Yes.
And then there's slogs. and then there's... I've brought in a couple of different kind of competing ideas today.
Yes.
That I think I've found a middle point between these two concepts.
Mm.
The first is an acronym WGA, Writers Guild America.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
the second is an abbreviation, AI, Artificial Intelligence.
Ah.
And the third is the series of movies known as The Fast and the Furious.
Oh, okay.
God.
Let's see if we can navigate this.
I can imagine that the most recent Fast and Furious has potentially been written by AI.
100%. In fact, you've just taken the segment, so should we just go, we'll just wrap up? That's good. You've like just jump to the end. You've jumped to the end of my
play
thesis.
The sting. We're done.
There's a lot of talk about AI writing at the moment. Part of the Writers Guild strike in America is around improved economic conditions for writers. There's a real problem, particularly with streamers, with the way that the model for writers is being kind of chipped away and eroded just at a time when it's actually tougher to live than ever.
Mm.
In particular, let's not like dive into the minutiae of how writing works, but essentially the amount of time that people are getting to spend writing on shows, the amount of episodes that are produced, and the amount of opportunities for advancement is all declining, even though content's going up. So it seems like just the needle's moved in a way that is not going to be functional for the human beings that actually generate the content.
Mm.
But, you know, that's where AI is going to come in. And Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, is on an investor call the other day, was talking about how they've got lawyers looking at AI at the moment to sort of figure out how it can be implemented. We'll go to some other comments on that shortly. But as I thought about AI and sort of how we understand it now, and like the sort of ChatGPT model of predictive generative content really is like, does depend on what you're feeding into it. It's not really kind of thinking for itself, but it just spits out these things that kind of seem like other things that you know.
Yes.
And if I asked it to make a list of movies,
okay,
and movie titles based on a theme, it might look something like this actual list of movie titles that starts in 2001. It started with The Fast and the Furious, and I reckon if you put in all the information about what we know about this franchise, you might get this stupid list of titling that actually happened in real life. So the first film was The Fast and the Furious in 2001. 2003 was Too Fast, Too Furious with numbers, which is a really great kind of 2003-ish title. 2006, they abandon that and go The Fast and the Furious : Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
It's all kind of working okay at this point, right? There's no sort of gimmicks on numbers and titles I've given up. But then the fourth film is Fast Ampersand Furious. Just ditching
Fast Furious.
Fast and Furious. Fast Five, the word five.
Yes.
But then the next film is Fast Ampersand Furious number six. Then Furious number seven. Then The Fate of the Furious, which I think is punny because it's eight, but fate, but they spell it F-A-T-E. Then the last one was F9. So if people still bought DVDs, and I think about the DVD shelf, if you still bought DVDs and you're a Fast and Furious fan, you just look at the spines of those movies and go, what the flying fuck is going on here?
They would not match. Not
and now
all.
We've got Fast X, which is
Roman numerals.
Which
yes.
is, yeah.
Finally.
And if you're, and if you're scrolling on Wikipedia, as I am right now, to look at this list of titles, the next one makes a bit... They might as well go with what they're actually calling it on Wikipedia, which is Untitled Fast X Sequel. It would make about as much sense in this thing as anything else. Now, these films have gotten stupider and stupider. I wasn't really a fan of this franchise. I saw the first one and thought it was a okay kind of Point Break knockoff. Very much replicated that far superior film. But then I got won around by people talking about how absurd Fast Five was and had a ball watching that film. But I've been kind of chasing the dragon on this franchise ever since, and a couple of films back just gave up. As Daniel Rutledge, former Carnival in Rio contributor DV Dan, had to say on Flicks, what it started out as versus what it's become doesn't make any sense. Neither does its timeline jumping or constant retconning and resurrecting every character who ever died. Over the years, as the sequels kept coming, they stopped being set on planet Earth and about humans, transforming into something set in a cartoon mirror of our world and about superhuman aliens who aren't bound by physics, logic, or any other earthly laws.
Are there actually aliens in it?
No, but they just seem like... It very much is seeming like something that is made by a generative AI at this point. So when you hear about AI writing scripts, sadly, it might mean...
This is where we're headed.
Things as absolutely ridiculous as this pile of shit, which is back in cinemas this week. If you're into Fast and Furious movies, good on you. Hey, look, everyone likes a bit of popcorn entertainment, eh?
Absolutely not.
Not one for me.
That's why I still play Need for Speed back in, like, 2004. I think that game came out on the PS2. Still play it.
Stay true, mate. Stay true. But when we look at what actually might be happening with AI in films, the sort of things that have come to light have been like monkeys, like an infinite number of monkeys and typewriters, eventually someone will write the works of Shakespeare.
Yes.
That studios may just produce millions of bottom drawer script ideas or concepts.
Right.
Use the AI to put it together, then hand it over to a writer to
finesse.
Make it human. Now, that work would be outside the scope of the Writers Guild agreement. So it wouldn't be writing, it wouldn't be creating. They'd come up with it wouldn't be script editing or story editing, which are already covered by existing or will be covered by existing negotiations once they get a deal. But they'll just come up with some like bullshit way of calling it something so they won't have to pay good rates. There won't be any of the protections. There won't be any back end, not that they pay back end anyway because they're all crooks. But it's basically going to be a scam. So that's one thing to avoid. Then I came across this interesting thread from a one-time actor, former Screen Actors Guild board member and negotiating committee member Justine Bateman. And she had a little bit of a thread on where she believes AI is going. Now, Bateman can be a little bit hyperbolic on Twitter. I'm not suggesting that this is all kind of gospel or necessarily scientifically accurate, but these are really great kind of, I guess, conversation starters or just talking points, really. So the first thing Bateman has to say is AI-written scripts and digitally scanned actors, image and or voice, both already exist. Some talent agencies are actively recruiting their clients to be scanned. You choose the projects and you get 75 cents on the dollar. Your digital image can be triple and quadruple booked. So that bodes well for a 10%er, meaning the agent. So just think about that. That's just go and get your body scan. You'll be in three or four movies or TV shows. Don't actually have to do any work. Bank a check. Just license out your likeness.
I mean, that's a grim future.
But that kind of feels right. Like when you see like those cameos pop up in Fast and Furious or sort of increasingly in Marvel where they are just stitching these things together from their digital environments.
Yeah.
It's kind of maybe what we're
Telling me that in 30 years I'm going to watch Fast and Furious, which will be a series that continues on to that point. And then in the background, where the extras are, it's just a rendered Mr. Bean, is it? Rowan Atkinson's
I mean, it's inevitable that Rowan Atkinson will end up in Fast and Furious. Yeah. Mate, in 30 years, we're all going to be ashes. But anyway.
have you seen the AI-generated Wes Anderson Star Wars and what was the other one? Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and they feel like these feel like these feel kind of trivial, right? Like they're kind of funny to look at.
Yeah.
And then it's the idea of sort of it becoming a full length piece of entertainment that's been made in that process still feels far away. But I think it's going to happen pretty quick in some way.
Can't be far away.
Bateman also says that there'll be films customized for a viewer based on their viewing history. So. Mm-hmm. Netflix knows you way more than you want to admit. It might not feel like the algorithm is working in terms of the stuff it serves up to you on the home menu, but it understands your viewing pretty well, I think, or at least it understands your household's viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll start doing that. Actors will have the image. Actors will have the option to have the image bought out to be used in anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So then you may also have the opportunity to pay to have a film. Say like you will with ChatGPT, basically. Say like, I want a film about a panda and a unicorn who save the world in a rocket ship and put Bill Murray in it. So whoop-de-doo, you get that. Viewers may get digitally scanned, have that option, and you can pay to have yourself inserted.
In the film.
I guess we've all sent someone a greeting card online where you've made yourself a stupid, like you're dancing a stupid dance or whatever.
Oh, yeah, with your head cut onto the elf.
Yeah. So this is like a, exactly. So
Jib-jab.
This is like a better version of Jib-jab. Yeah. So the example Bateman gives is you could put your face on Luke Skywalker's body and their ex-wife's face on Darth Vader's body, etc. Interesting. Bateman also says another example would be training an AI program. This one feels very plausible, and this is maybe what's happened already with the Fast and Furious franchise. Training an AI program on an older hit TV series and creating an additional season. Family Ties, for example, has 167 episodes. An AI program could easily be trained on this and create an eighth season. We only shot seven.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, because that's what happened with that 3D animated AI-generated series of Seinfeld that played on Twitch for like a few weeks, right? And then it got taken down because of, you know, bad humor, I guess. But I don't know if they're going to start that back up. I think they are.
Yeah, that got sideways pretty fast.
It got sideways very fast.
But I mean, that's all. I think all these things will be ironed out. You know, Disney will come up with a foolproof G-rated garbage system for making AI dog shit. Yeah. Surely. But yeah, it seems like this is a bigger issue than perhaps it's really been given credit for. We're all hyper aware of it. It feels big and scary, but I think it is actually going to have the ability to impact on people's day-to-day lives.
Mm.
In the context of the strike, this is costing the California economy about $30 million a day, more and more shows having to go into shutdown. The way it works is if scripts have been written, yes, you can still film the scripts as have been completed.
Mm-hmm.
So House of the Dragon is allegedly going into production still. but they can't change one word of the script that's been written.
Mm.
And modern TV is very reliant on showrunners and writers on set because all sorts of things will come up in the context of shooting a film or TV show that you need to write around. Like maybe the director wants to approach a shot a certain way because a door's in a different place or whatever. Maybe these two characters aren't actually going to be in the same place at the same time. So there's all these tiny things that happen in the making of a production, not to mention incorporating improvements to a script.
Yes.
So the idea of a big budget prestige TV show not having any edits to its content while it's being made doesn't feel like it's going to work. In terms of what they're actually asking for, the amount of money is not crazy. So somewhere in the realm of about $400 million a year is what the WGA is angling for in terms of the new deals. Someone's going to have to blink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the streamers could just keep making content offshore and shipping it in.
Yeah.
But the longer these shows get delayed for, in the context of the streaming wars, which kind of continue to evolve themselves, it seems at this point that we may have reached the sort of peak period of trying to find every available subscriber, and now it's going to become a bit more competitive between the services.
Mm.
But without those flagship shows, they're a bit stuffed.
Yeah. Surely one of the big streamers will just go, yep, let's do it. Let's pay for these writers. And
yeah, it's going to be tricky, though, because this deal needs to be struck across the whole industry. So this is an industry-wide working rights agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too complicated. The upshot's going to be that you're all going to have to wait longer for the shows you like. But hopefully, go socialism, go collectivism. They can dig their heels in and get a good outcome because... You know, look, Fast X might be next week, but do you want one every week?
Mm. Absolutely not, no. Cut it. Cut the series.
Steve, we've had a bunch of texts through, obviously.
Lots to ponder.
There's a lot to ponder. Mm. It sounds like they're heavy on the colon when it comes to the Fast and the Furious. AI script finessing could be called fluffing.
It's a high-fiber film series.
Someone's saying, yes, Steve, filling the Fast and Furious sequel, filing the Fast and Furious sequel DVDs has been a goddamn nightmare. Get them in the effing bin from Jen.
Get them in the effing bin. I mean, hopefully the font and the text size is all the same and uniform.
Absolutely not, no.
And someone has some questions.
Some of them backwards on the spine, maybe?
Someone has some questions about AI-generated porn. But, yeah.
That's a whole different...
That's after 6 p.m., listener.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I mean,
also, that's just
there's flicks in that, and then there's flicks in that. So it's that one. We'll keep that one to the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you, Steve.
I may or may not see Fast X, so we might talk about it again. Otherwise, we can just forget about it and concentrate on the things that we like.
Fair enough.
Awesome. Cheers, mate.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.